The sun is sinking in the west. The cattle go down to the stream. A red wing settles in her nest. It's time for a cowboy to dream.
Welcome to episode number 16 of the Goat Locker Podcast. Buenas noches, cabra.
Oh, buenas noches, Bearcat. Burrow cat, sorry.
Oh, no, that's good. That's all right. There we go. Yes, live from, what town are we in?
Najira,
Spain. Man, alive. So we were supposed to, we're probably at least a week behind on podcast and whatnot, but it's been a rest day today, so we figured the best way to cap this thing off was with a little bit of a podcast.
Yep, nice short and sweet one, but, you know.
A little bit of an update.
Yeah.
What are we drinking tonight? This is Puente La Carolina.
Yeah, we had to choose a Carolina wine.
Yeah, it's a wine from the Rioja region. That's where we're at.
Yep.
We've been drinking a little bit of wine each night. Nothing much.
Yep.
But it's pretty tasty.
We got 5 days into the Camino.
Yeah, so tell me about it.
So we've been pushing 10 miles, about 10 miles a day. Maybe a little more. The last day was
10.8. Yeah, just under 11 to get in here.
That's the most that we've done. And we've been doing all right. It's pushing for me especially, but we're doing it and my knee's holding up and now we've got a rest day today. We stayed an extra night. Tonight's we'll be packing back up and getting ready to head out in the morning.
Yeah, we look like a set of gypsies in here. We've done laundry today, so we've got
hand wash laundry. We got
all of our hand wash laundry. I'm on my third glass of vino, and so that might be my problem.
Maybe.
Might be my problem. But we've got our clothes lined up. We've got our heater going in there. We've got a full-blown operation going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's it been like?
it's been unimaginable. There's no way we could have known. We knew it was going to be awesome, that it was going to be epic, and it was going to be transformational and all that. But it is all that and more. It's just been incredible.
Yeah. So we started, we landed in Paris, spent a couple of days in Paris. Actually got to spend your birthday morning in Paris and then the train ride down to Saint-Jean, but Paris was pretty cool. We've never been there. We put a lot of miles on in Paris actually.
Yeah.
A big day. We had a full day in Paris where we did everything from the Cathedral of Notre Dame, the Louvre, Arc de Triomphe, Eiffel Tower, Champs-Élysées.
Yeah.
A lot. Good food, great coffee, croissants. We just had a good time in Paris.
And that was not a place that either one of us had, like, you know, wasn't on our list of places we wanted to go. But, I mean, it was awesome. It was amazing. The history there and the architecture and the, you know, these are ancient places compared to where we're from.
Yeah.
And that really, it is so obvious. Like Notre Dame, seeing that cathedral, and it's not finished. They're still working on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
There's scaffolding all over, but it is incredible.
It's incredible. It's an impressive place.
Astonishing.
And if you look at the pictures, you know, I only saw one picture while we were there of kind of right after the devastation. But when you see a picture of, you know, the entire top of the cathedral's gone, like it's, you know, burned up, like it's a hole. And, you know, what they've done to rebuild that, it looks great. I was looking at one piece that they had on the side of the fencing there that was describing how they're handpicking trees, they're falling these trees, they're, you know, hand cutting them.
Yeah.
And then they're assembling each of these kind of A-frame structures at the warehouse somewhere, kind of pre-assembly, then they'll tear it back apart, ship it in, and then put it all back together and with, you know, old techniques. So this is not new techniques. You're using the original techniques, and just amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but, that was something else. And then you mentioned the Louvre. I mean, that was...
Yeah, I was not... I had no idea. And we didn't even go in. This is just outside of it. And all the stuff surrounding it was stunning. Just... I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. That's how kind of awe-inspiring it was. Something else.
We had... It was a wonderful morning. We started our morning, had croissant, coffee, kind of walking. We from where we were at in Paris to get to Louvre was about a mile and a half, and so we just had a nice stroll that morning. Beautiful morning. We got down towards the Louvre, saw the Louvre, walked around the Louvre. About then, I've been drinking my water in the morning, and I've had like two cups of coffee. Granted, they're like 3 ounces, but. I knew that I was going to have to pee, and I started looking. I was like, I need a toilet. And we didn't find anything around the Louvre. And then there was like a mall underneath this thing. And so I went down in there, and it was closed. And so I came back up. And so then we went into the garden. The Arc de Triomphe garden. Big garden, beautiful. And I started, I broke away from Vicky. I'm like, I'm gonna go on the hunt. And I made it all the way to the other end of the garden where the one restroom is at, and it's closed. So I had to make a decision.
There are some beautiful shrubberies in that garden.
Beautiful.
Very close together.
And about 6 foot high.
Yeah.
One that you might be able
and
to
that's
just
all we need to say.
We get lost in. I got lost in one of the shrubs.
Yeah, there you go.
And, that's you know, good. Yep, there you go. So...
There was no international incident that we had to get out of, thankfully.
Yeah. So, anyhow, the rest of the day was fantastic. We had a cup of French soup there that day was
Barry Sean ordered soup. It was French onion soup. That was his mom's favorite. That's why he ordered it.
That's right.
But, you know, they're known for the French onion soup, and it did not disappoint.
Not at all.
It was good.
It was really good. So then the train ride. It was our first train ride down, in Europe, down to...
Bayonne,
yeah, and then we had a bus ride. We had to end up taking the bus from Bayonne to Saint-Jean because the short line was on strike, and so we didn't get to ride the train in. But
the train ride was awesome.
And
the bus ride was, too.
Was the bus ride. Note to self, if you take the train and you're going to be on that train during a meal, just take your meal with you because the wait to the kitchen was... long.
Yeah, it's probably close to an hour.
But it was fine. It's we did that, and so the train was good, and then we got into St. John, and it was awesome, man. We had about a mile and some change to get to the bed and breakfast that Vicky booked on. I think it was in Spain, even though we were in France, but
it was.
We had to carry all this gear, man.
We had some big bags.
Yeah.
And we had to carry one, the biggest one, like between us. Like he had one side and the other. And there were some big ass hills that we had to walk up.
We had to climb.
It was training for the.
But we got her done. Got into our bed and breakfast, and wonderful place. The owner is an American who had come over nearly 50 years ago, 40 years ago. 50, yeah. Married a Basque fella, and they've got a bed and breakfast here, and it was really good and really nice accommodation. And
they took good care of us.
We stayed an extra day in St. John, and tell us about the extra day, because you didn't think that we were going to do any hiking on that day.
Right, yeah. So Barry, you know, well, I think we've talked about this before. He has things mapped out. You know, he plans everything out in detail. And I have grown to depend on that. What he says, we're going to do. And so we're like, okay, we have 2 days in St. John, and we're going to get all our stuff packed up. We're going to send all the excess stuff that we are not going to carry with us in our backpacks forward to Santiago. So we'll have it there, and we'll have all these other clothes. And then, you know, we'll just kind of get situated. So, cool. Well, the second day, he's like, let me tell you something. We're going to hike up about
3 miles.
Because we were not going to do Well, you explain why we were doing
that. Well, I mean, so you leave out of St. John, and then you just go straight up the mountain, right? And
we did not have accommodation. It was sold out.
Right. And so we had to go. And not only did we not have to just go to Ron Cesvalles, but we had to go past that to Brigitte. So we had our accommodations in Brigitte. So it was going to be, by every stretch, it was going to end up being an 18-plus mile day, true start to finish. So the day before, I said, well, let's go get 6 miles in right now. That'll kind of take care of the first 6 miles that we would have gotten.
Right.
And then we'll finish out with the other miles and get a. And we did get a van ride up to Orison.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well. And we still had 1,500 foot of climb to do. So it wasn't like we only went about halfway up the mountain.
Yeah.
But so that first day,
I was not planning on doing 6 miles.
On the day
3 miles uphill.
Right, on the day
And
before.
I don't handle disappointment well. I just don't.
Disruption, not disappointment, disruption.
I was disappointed. It was disrupting, but I was disappointed.
You were disappointed.
I was not planning on working, but it worked out all right. It was fun.
It was good. And we found a nice spot. It was like just a perfect spot to turn around. Had a bench and a water spot. And we kind of sat there for a minute and took it all in and then made our way down. And then we felt really good about it. And we got dinner and we had our first sangria. Met quite a few folks there at that place. And it just worked out good. But that was the unofficial start to the hike. So we really have 6 days of hiking, five full days.
Right.
But 6 days of hiking now, and then we took a rest. So, and then day one was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was.
The full day one was...
the Pyrenees.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, it is beautiful. It is stunningly jaw-dropping beautiful. Just everywhere you look, it's like a fairy tale. Like you're living in a fairy tale. And a lot of times people that take this route, there's cloud cover when they get to the top, and so they don't get all those views. And we had all the views. We had no obstructions.
Layers upon layers layers of mountains.
Yes.
Snow-covered mountains.
Yeah.
And then we come around the corner, and there's draft horses, just horses. And there's fencing, right? I mean, there's just you're just out in the pastures, and they've all got babies, or pretty much all of them did.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty cool. And these babies were young. They were very young. Sheep everywhere. You can see these dots of sheep everywhere. we go from this extremely open environment to into the woods. And in fact, it's one of the largest beech tree forests in France.
In Europe, but certainly in France.
Yeah. Yep. And so we ended up in that for the back half of this hike. So, you know, out of the 10 plus miles that we did that day, about 4.5 or so were in the open air of the Pyrenees, and then the rest were in the forest of the Pyrenees, still climbing and whatnot. But we got to the top, and then we descended down into Roncesvalles, and that was a very steep drop back down.
That was
down.
The hardest part.
Hard part. Yeah.
We were warned about that the descent is harder than going up, and it's true. It's harder on your knees, harder on your body.
Or your body, but it was a lot of loose gravel, big stones, you know, kind of washed out areas. So it wasn't what I would call a groomed trail by any stretch. And so it was a tough drop. But we got down through there, got into Roncesvalles, stopped, had a beer. That was nice. Nice pub there. And then we still had another mile and a half or so to go into Brigitte. And that was great. I mean, flat as a pancake. Beautiful night. Started to drizzle. We ended up putting our ponchos on. That was the first time we actually deployed all of our rain gear.
It was nice and flat. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and just a drizzle. It wasn't anything major, and pulled into Brigitte into our first night there, and it was great.
Yep.
Really nice accommodation. Nice place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Got a supermarket. We picked up a few things at the supermarket.
Yep.
So that worked out well. Yeah, and so the days have been going great, man. It's been...
Yeah, and it was the second day was at on the river, right? Where we stopped on the river, and we had such a good day. Just
that was day three.
It was day three.
Yeah, so day two we left Brigitte on our way to Lara Sorona, and we had to get through Zubari.
Oh, that's right.
And there was quite a bit of rain that was coming, and this is one we're talking about for sure. But we got about. We got about 6 miles in that day and stopped in a little town, and there was a pub there, and this couple had just really kind of opened up this pub, soon to be an albergue. Stopped, had lunch, and it was getting ready to rain, and we made the decision. It's like, okay, hey, let's get a cab and go ahead and finish out this mile and a half down to Zubiri, which is another really steep descent. See if we can't get ahead of this rain a little bit, and then we still had 5.5 kilometers to go from Zubiri to La Serena, and we'll just go ahead and finish that out. And so we got dropped off in Zubiri, got back on the trail. Within 15 minutes, we were donning our gear, our rain gear, and within another 10 minutes, it was a steady, heavy downpour. Yep, and it did that for 3 miles.
Yeah. And it was, I think it was mostly downhill, but it was like rushing water going down the trail. So we were, you know, tried for a long time just to keep our feet out of the rushing water, but it just got to where you couldn't do it. And it was a little scary, but it was also exhilarating. I mean, because we were, you know, we were doing it.
And we pretty much had the trail to ourselves. We didn't really see anybody. We did stop. We were about 2 miles in, and we came on a shelter, and we stopped in that shelter and had a break, and it kind of lit up a little bit. There was another pilgrim in there. He'd been in there for a while. And you know, we had a decent break there, and we had about another mile and a half to push. So we came out of there and made it in, and we came with by the time we got in town, we were waterlogged, especially from the knees down. Everything else was pretty good.
Our packs were dry.
My jacket, arms were drenched, but anything that was under the poncho and anything that was under the pack covers was dry.
Yeah.
So that worked out well, and we got into our albergue, and that was a really nice night. And then the next day, so we had met a handful of us. Now we're 2 days in, and we've met a handful of people.
Right. You know, we met some people, you know, in St. John. You know, everybody that is descended upon St. John is getting ready to walk the Camino. You know, you can tell by the looks on their faces and what they're carrying. And everybody's like, where are you from? Are you doing the whole thing? Everybody's asking the same questions. And so, you know, you get to know some people, even if it's just by sight. And then along that first day, you're passing people. Other people are passing you. Second day happened. And then, so that night in the albergue, that's when we met some people. We sat and had dinner with these people and just... You know, there was a lady from Brazil. There was a lady from the Netherlands who grew up in Arkansas. There was a guy from Italy who spoke zero English.
Canadian.
Me and Barry and a Canadian, yeah.
Yep. And actually, that lady was from, I thought she was from Brazil.
Marina was from Brazil and Hella was from Denmark.
Right. And so the gal from Brazil spoke Portuguese, Spanish, Italian,
and French.
And so she was translating for the Italian because he knew no English.
Yeah.
And so she was kind of our translator for the entire table. And
that was just a great experience. It was just a great experience.
But then we left there the next morning, met a guy by the name of Olivier. He's got a supermarket in right next door to the albergue where we're at. We stopped in there for a cup of coffee that morning, and he was just a really good guy. And it was just the two of us in there with him for a spell. And he's like, the trail's going to give you three things. And so he took us through the three things. We'll talk about it more in another podcast. But ultimately, it's about you will know pain, and you will know about living in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know about listening to one another and those on the trail, because that's all you have. You can't break away from. And you'll really know about simplicity. You'll learn about shedding that load and getting into simplicity. And by the end of that day three,
you nailed it.
We were nailing all three of those and starting to chuck stuff out of the pack. And but on day three, we left from breakfast, had a nice walk. It was about 2.5 miles or so. Still in the morning. We're still in the mid-morning. Come around the corner across the river, and there is this cafe that is on the river, and there has got to be 50 people, 50 pilgrims in this thing. It's all outdoors. There's two or three guys playing guitar and singing and just having a big... And it was like the best reunion.
It was. We knew like probably 10 people. You know, we're like, hey, Francois. And, you know, just it was amazing. Like, you knew these people after 3 days. And, you know, we figured
And met more.
And met more. Absolutely, we met more. But so everybody that is on this Camino, you know, rarely are you by yourself. You know, you might be walking by yourself, but you're going to be able to see somebody up ahead of you. You know, it might be a ways or it might be closer, but so you're a pilgrim. You are a fellow pilgrim, and everybody is going in the same direction. Everybody's going to Santiago, and everybody's carrying a load. I mean, so that's that community. It is remarkable.
It's remarkable.
It's like nothing else I've ever experienced. So you have something in common with everybody, even if you can't even see their face, you got something in common with them.
Yep.
A big thing, actually.
And everybody's just rooting, you know, cheering for one another and supportive of one another. And, you know, it's just really cool to see and experience. And I tell you, when we were in St. John and we checked into the Pilgrim office and got our official credentials and our stamp and all that kind of deal, the volunteer there, we sat down with a volunteer and he gave us a bunch of information. He gave us a huge booklet for our brigades. He gave us a map. You know, he gave us kind of the day breakouts, you know, just very helpful, very accommodating. And this guy was from Canada and he said, because we had told him our plan was to basically do sections. We're going to leapfrog and do a section, leapfrog, do a section, because we're not going to do the entire thing. And he said to us that night, he said, I would strongly encourage you to just start and go for 22 days. And then wherever you get to, you just stop and you go home. Don't even worry about going to Santiago. And man, we chewed on that for a minute. We really did chew on that for a minute. And I tell you, the reason that I believe him in that is because when you start building this camaraderie of people, you really do. I mean, like Francois is a guy we met on day one. We saw him in all 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, we met a lot of people that, you know, we came to know. And then when we left Pamplona and leapfrogged up to Logrono, we left that group.
Yeah.
And now we're in a whole new group.
Yeah. And they have established that it's an established community. You know, you can tell, you can see people knowing each other. And
they've been around for 12 to 14 days now.
But everybody's super friendly too. Oh, yeah. So we got together with some people yesterday and sat for probably 2 hours at the cafe talking and meeting them. So we'll just meet more people. But the benefit, what Gary was saying, was, you know, that whole 3 weeks we would be with most of those people, and that would be incredible.
And not everybody's going the same speed, but you know, you get pretty close to that. And so, but we've had a great experience here. Good day off. We needed that, and then now we're set to go for. We've got another 3 to 4 days in front of us now until we do another kind of jump, and so we're. Mm-hmm. We're going to finish out the Rioja region here. We've got here in a couple of days, we're going to stop in a town called Granon. And Granon is, they've got a huge monastery there, and it's kind of well known for a very spiritual albergue, very spiritual experience. We'll actually stay in the monastery.
Yeah, on a mat, on the floor.
In the courtyard.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
So it's going to be amazing. Yeah,
it is.
But. Yeah, it's been incredible. So
we could go on and on and on, but we won't.
We won't, and we'll certainly share more as the days go on. But I think we definitely want to just make sure that, you know, for those that are back home and helping us, you know, taking care of the farm, being available to others, you name it, couldn't do it without you.
Yeah,
couldn't do it without you. Any updates on Louise and Thelma? I mean, I know it's that we didn't start with Thelma and Louise because. We're so excited about it, but how are they doing, you know?
I do know, and they're doing really well. So, you know, they're at sleepaway camp, and I sent James, the head counselor, a note just to, you know, tell them that I loved them and that they needed to behave. And he said, yeah, I'll tell them. I've just got to, you know, get them where they're not frolicking with their camp buddies. He said, it's like a big goat mosh pit. I said, those guys are living their best life. He sent a video today of him feeding them carrots, so they're pretty happy. And
well. And
David, the cat, is at our dear friend Claudia's house, living his best life. He's got his own room. It's a big, fluffy bed with, you know, it's all beautiful. And he's got his friend Claudia and a new friend Franco, the cat.
Doing well.
Doing very well.
So we're thankful for everybody that's helping us so that we could do this, for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's well, awesome. Other thoughts?
I think that's all the thoughts I got. Well, no, this wine's really good.
Wine's really good. Yep. The Puente La Carolina from the Rioja region. All right.
What you got, Bearcat?
I think we covered it. I mean, there's just been some good stuff. I mean, it's everything. I'll go back to this, and you know, we've talked about this on a previous podcast, but the training that we did coming into this has paid in spades.
Dividends, yeah.
Yeah, it's sure. been huge. I mean, we feel good. We're still strong and healthy. You know, we're a little more exhausted, just tired. I mean, you know, after, you know, 10 plus miles each day carrying full loads, and you're about double where you were kind of training at.
Mm-hmm. All my cosmetics.
Yeah, but really in the end, the training has paid off. That's going good. We feel good. Mm-hmm. We've had good weather.
Yeah, I will say that, so Barry is fast. He could easily do 3 miles an hour or more, even with his full load. And I'm not going to do that. I just am not. It's not in me, and that's fine. That's been a, I do struggle with that a little bit. You know, I should be going faster, or I should, but I'm not, and I'll be fine. There are people that are slower than me, and there's plenty of people that are faster than me. And it just doesn't matter, because it's your own Camino, you know, whatever you make of it.
Absolutely.
Yep, and we will.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing, too, that we've learned through this, in that vein, is we've been pretty consistent about stopping every 2-ish miles.
Yeah.
And taking, you know, a 10-minute siesta for a second and just taking that load off and
taking
a break.
That's about every hour.
It's about every hour, maybe a little less than, but...
Yeah.
And it's significant.
It is significant. It is, like, refreshing. It's just a little rest.
Get that weight off of you.
Yeah.
You put the weight back on. Before you know it, another mile's already gone, and now you're just clipping down for another 15 or 20 or 25 minutes, and you get another break. And
yeah.
And so it's been good.
Yeah, it has been.
And we've had some phenomenal lunches on the trail. Just mm-hmm. So we've been taking, you know, most mornings we'll just go buy a sandwich that's already made with
jamon
and queso and baguette. Yeah. And that baguette is hard as a brick. But we shove it in our bag, and, you know, lunchtime we'll find a place and have a banana and a baguette. And it's been amazing, man. It's been awesome, man. We've
eaten outside.
Eaten outside and just did some epic places. So it's been fun.
We're lucky.
We're very lucky. All right. With that, we sure do appreciate you guys. Adios. And we don't have a lot of music and a lot of technology available with us, so I'll leave you with one of my favorite groups, the Gypsy Kings.
Ooh.
Adios.